This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street, or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I am Barry. This is the voice within for another week. Now, we haven't heard from Lee Harris for a while. This is his update on November 2023.
Hello everyone, welcome to the energy update for November 2023. I'm Lee, I'm an intuitive, and every month I take the pulse on what might show up for us energetically. Just a few of the themes this month are: how are you recovering from the events of this past month? Trust and surrender on a personal and a political scale. And what timeline are you in right now? Are you in the future or are you in the now? Let's get into some of the themes for this month. And I think the first one I have to go to is the theme of recovery. October, as we know, was a very charged month, energetically for sure, but just looking at what has been going on in the world in recent weeks, many of us were overwhelmed, triggered. Our nervous systems got activated by what we were seeing and experiencing. And of course, there were many brothers and sisters around the world going through a great deal of turbulence, crisis, and incredibly intense events. So for you, you may have done your self-care work to kind of reset yourself as much as possible. But the message I got as I was coming to do this video is there are a lot of you that are still massively impacted by it, and really struggling to find your equilibrium in all of it, which is completely normal, by the way. But for all of us, when trauma is perpetrated on the planet in such graphic and sudden and shocking ways, it brings up inside us an almighty reaction, and it can take us back to times in our life that we have felt traumatized, but also just on a level of, are we safe? How are we going to protect ourselves and each other? And then just deep empathy for what you see certain people going through in the world if you aren't one of the people affected. And as we know, we're in this very tricky time on Earth where challenges abound. So depending on where you live, whether it's geographical, whether it's political, whether it's a battle that's going on somewhere, it's certainly a time where more of us are going through really difficult challenges. So the question for you is, how are you recovering yourself? If you resonate with the idea that you still haven't been able to shake off or center or come to a place of being back in your own groundedness, even with everything that's going on in the world, it doesn't mean feel okay about it necessarily, but you're no longer thrown off in your balance, in your decision making, in the way that you're able to show up in the world. It's really important that especially the first couple of weeks of November, you devote some time to your thoughts, your feelings, giving yourself space to feel what you need to feel, and recognizing if your nervous system is really activated, who are the people? What are the things? What are the activities, the places, the spaces that will help you to just recover yourself and breathe again? Because the message I got as I was tuning in for this, even though I know many of you who would watch a video like this, you're already people who would be looking into how to look after yourself and regulate your nervous system at some level. But what we just witnessed and went through in October was incredibly intense. And so therefore, the message I got was lots of us are still dragging parts of that with us. So see what you can do to reset your nervous system, look after your physical body, be around good, supportive people, places, things, energies, at least some of the time. And especially if, as I say that, you suddenly realize, oh my God, I'm not around any of that. I'm actually in the opposite right now. You have to prioritize giving yourself a little time each day to really come back to who you are, because what we've just been through is not necessarily over for us in terms of where we are as a world. And these are very fiery times. And so I wish I could be saying something different. I wish I could say that everything's going to be fine in a few months. And of course, none of us know exactly what the future holds. But those of us who track this kind of thing, we do know that we are in a very massive change arc on the planet. So one of the things that, you know, my guides have spoken about is the template or the energy template of war and how it's playing out on the planet and how we are going to come to a place in our consciousness where it no longer has the stranglehold it has. But right now we're in the heart of seeing the stranglehold of that and how it gets maintained, on the planet. So it's a really difficult time for anyone who's sensitive, who's in their heart, who's feeling compassion toward what they're seeing going on. And of course, for anyone involved in those areas, it's a whole other level. So as much as you can, take good care of yourself and just do a check on your own personal recovery. And if you don't feel like you are actively recovering, and it's not just this past month, I mean, we could look at the last 3 years and everything that has gone on. Just really devote some time to recovering and restoring your energy as much as you can this month. The second theme relates to some of what we've just seen in the last month. Are we feeling our feelings or are we aiming our wounds? You know, I've seen a lot of divisiveness online, a lot of opinions flying back and forth. The very same energy that we're dealing with on a global scale playing out in us as human beings and individuals. And I'm sure like many of you, I went through a maelstrom of feelings about what was going on. But what I'm also seeing is people who either aren't aware of their feelings or aren't yet adept at understanding their feelings or processing their feelings, just aiming them at other people. You know, you feel angry about what's going on in the world. You're not very conscious that you're angry. Somebody says something you don't like and wallop, you send the anger into them with words, with energy, or worst case scenario, with physicality. So that energy has been flying around a lot for recent years. We know this, but it is something that we have to be really mindful of. It's something we have to check in ourselves. And particularly if you understand what I'm talking about, there are many, many, many millions of us around the world who want to, as much as we can, help to be ambassadors for peace. And so we're doing our own work. We're doing our own growth, our own healing, like we all have to. But it might be that you're the person who can hold a certain level of compassion or a certain strength for someone in your midst who you can see is wounded right now. And it's okay that they're wounded. Who wouldn't be with everything that's going on? But they just might not be as used to understanding, processing their feelings and recognizing when they're throwing their feelings at someone else or you versus feeling their feelings. And so some of you will have been doing really important work with people in your communities around just helping them settle, helping them feel what they need to feel, hopefully giving them space for what they need to process and move through their bodies so that it doesn't become the disease of flinging it at each other, because that just puts us into the exact same scenario that we're all praying and holding a vision of moving off this planet, even if it takes decades and decades for us to get there. That's part of the work that we have to do. If we believe in the principle of oneness and the idea that we are spiritual beings as much as we are human beings, and all of us are doing our best to elevate our consciousness, but perhaps your best right now might be that you're finding new strength in being able to stand there when someone is in that trigger or in that mode, and perhaps be someone who can handle it for them, or in a way that doesn't trigger them, invite them to see something a different way or see something about themselves a different way. So that was a very strong image that I received when I got that theme, that a lot of you have been doing that. Very important to not exhaust yourself if you've been doing it a lot. And I know some of you will have been praying vigilantly for peace. And many of you have been praying for peace on the planet as a whole for decades. But I know there has been a massive increase in recent weeks because of events. So are we feeling our feelings or are we aiming our wounds? You know, if we feel our feelings, we normally cycle through a range of emotions. You know, anger will turn to grief, will turn to sadness, will turn to disorientation. It will keep moving. But if we're just sitting in anger, waiting for someone to come along that we can hurl that anger at in the hope that we'll feel better, we're not going to get very far. And all we do is spread more trauma out. So it's the balance for all of us of checking ourselves, but also some of you might be real custodians of this knowledge for other people and doing your best to help others find their way there. The third theme, and don't worry, I'm going to move slightly more into the energetic, but of course it's been a very heavy month on the ground. The third theme relates to the ground too. Trust and surrender. We're in a period where we are examining our trust and we are examining surrender. And surrender can be seen through two different lenses. There is the part of us that can surrender and open into things that we're ready to receive. But there's also, we can be made to surrender. We can be forced to surrender into situations or scenarios that aren't actually good for us, but that are someone else's agenda. So trust and surrender go hand in hand. And this, in the month of November, this is going to show up in a very big way, both personally and politically, the way that our governance systems are moving things along for us. That's very much under the spotlight now and very much under the microscope. And there are some good people out there trying to, from the inside of the system, bring a little more light in there. But we also know that what has been happening in recent years is the rise in consciousness has also risen the darker or lower energies in that way. So we are seeing very obvious low vibration attempts at keeping the status quo and the vibration of the planet at a low. And we're in that period now where things are really rising to the surface and more people are beginning to see the dissonance. Not everybody is, though, and you can understand why they wouldn't. It's not necessarily a comfortable thing to see. But as we go through the month of November, keep your eyes peeled, particularly if you're someone who goes into despair about this, or if it worries you or greatly concerns you and you find yourself very easily in fear about all of this stuff. Keep looking for the good signs because they are there. The signs of the future are there. Yes, it's a bit of a battle right now and it doesn't look good if you just look at it on the surface, but the signs of the future are there. They're planted. There are certain things that get blocked, get stopped, get diverted. And that's part of the energy that we're going to be moving through in the next year or two until we start to see a bigger increase of future possibilities rather than a lot of what we're seeing right now, which is a desire to take us back in time to a time that wouldn't be desirable for us, but playing out in the future. So there is a bit of a war around timelines going on, and I'll talk more about that as I get near the end. But just to kind of bring it back to your personal as well, trust and surrender might be a huge personal theme for you. You might not be tracking or overly focusing on what's going on in the outside world, but in your own life, trust and surrender, maybe you're healing trust wounds. Maybe a trust wound is being generated right now, a new thing for you that's triggering for you, and surrendering to more of who you are and who you're here to be. As we know, it's an ongoing lifelong process. But trust and surrender can be seen through the lens of global issues and your personal life. It's a big theme, and it's usually a theme that can be a little uneasy and a little challenging. So be kind to yourself if you find yourself in it, but it is a wave that's moving through, and what it's doing is actually strengthening and fortifying us for the future. We're figuring out who we are, what's important to us, what's no longer important to us. Things that we might previously have either turned a blind eye to or not said anything about, we are going to feel compelled to move forward into. So our identities are shifting just as the global identity is shifting. That makes us uneasy in general. You know, in the human grounded self, we get a little uneasy when the programming starts to change even if at a soul level, we know exactly why we're going where we're going. So trust and surrender is a very edgy theme to find yourself in. So if it's not something you yourself are right in the heart of, just pay attention to that in others around you. Notice if people around you are a bit less trusting than they were, or a bit more trusting than they were, and they're a bit more willing to go with the flow where previously they weren't, or maybe you are. So it can have its brighter side, but in terms of where we are as a world right now, it's an intense issue. Okay, a brighter theme for this month is a depth plunge into deep awareness, which will lead to change. Now, it's interesting, as each month has gone on, in the last 3-4 months, there have been themes that I've been given for each month that I can see there's a sequence that has been building. So if you're someone who's been going through either a lot of transformation in the last few months, or things are very fast in your world, there's lots of change in your world, or you're really yearning for change, you're really calling in change, you're on the precipice of making some big shifts in your life, then this depth plunge into deep awareness this month is gonna find you. And it's a little bit like having a sudden knowing. It's like suddenly seeing so clearly something that you knew, but you hadn't allowed yourself to yet see it. So it's a deep awareness that isn't usually accompanied by a negative shock. There might be some shock, but it's like suddenly your eyes open to what was already there and you're like, oh. And there is a part of you that will feel anything from euphoric that you have seen this to peaceful and calm, and like something that you have been trying to open in yourself for a long time is about to open, because the veils are lifting on the planet. And so many of you will go into personal deep awareness starting from this month, if you haven't already been going there. But also there is a global shift of awareness going on around where we're at as a world and what's happening. So the fact that it's a depth plunge, that was the wording I was given, tells me it's going to be deep. But for many of you who've been tracking that way, that's actually going to feel almost like a reward rather than a shock, because everything that you've been trying to get to, November is the month where the window can really open and you can really see things clearly. So, you know, whenever I feel a theme like that coming in for myself personally, I always kind of try and hold my schedule lightly that month. I'm like, okay, I don't want to be too booked up with things that I don't want to have to move if suddenly something hits me that kind of I need to give a bit of time and space to. So by all means, carry on with your schedule, but just be aware that when that kind of thing happens, it can be hard to just carry on doing what you would kind of plan to do for the coming weeks. Now, if you're a total live in the moment person, you don't even need to worry about what I'm talking about, but just be aware, deep awarenesses, they have a really powerful ripple effect into your life. So my favorite theme of the month is the restorative powers of joy, love, and peace. And it's my favorite theme, not necessarily because I'm being Pollyanna about what's going on the planet, but because we need it. Like, we actually need those three energies. We need joy, love, and peace to be generated, demonstrated, shared, held in our bodies, because that is its own kind of energy, energy opposition, if you like, to the other things that we might see going on the planet. So the restorative powers of joy, love, and peace. Now, I've been doing a lot of channeling in recent months where they have spoken a great deal about joy and how important it is for us. But they also say it's one of the most challenging things for us to embrace and let in, because we have been trained away from that peak energy of joy. We have been trained out of thinking that we can have sustainable joy. And joy is a little different to a quick fix of pleasure. You know, that's like a temporary thing at the edge of joy. Joy is a very deep feeling. It shows up in gratitude. It shows up in appreciation, but it becomes active in your body. It's where your heart feels full, and it's where you feel connected to people, places, things. And so if you're feeling really lacking in joy, and like that's too hard for you to get to, where can you start with appreciation, gratitude, and where can you cultivate peace or love in your life? And the way to look at this is go, okay, how many times did I feel love this week? Love of a friend, love of what I was doing, love of the dog that I saw walking on the other side of the street, and I love dogs. Like, can you actually track how many times your body was allowed to feel love or joy? It's an interesting exercise to do because sometimes we're feeling it more than we're consciously aware that we are. And you'll do an exercise like that and you'll go, oh, actually, I felt it a lot. I just didn't really let my mind know that. It's really good to become aware of the levels of joy, love, and peace in your body. Because as we become aware of them, as they become seen, they grow and they generate. They're incredibly important life-giving energies. They're like the sun coming from inside us. So first of all, you want to cultivate them for yourself. And sometimes you might only want to cultivate those energies for yourself because you're in a restoration period or a quiet period. But what happens when you generate those is they seep out into the world, they seep out into people, and they are very, very healing. So the restorative powers of joy, love, and peace are not to be underestimated at a time like this. And it can be tricky because you might have survivor's guilt opposing you generating those three energies. But for this world and us as a humanity to keep going, we need to keep those alive. It's really important, especially at a time where we are not being encouraged or invited or allowed to celebrate and feel those things. And actually, if you look at our programming and our training, so few of us have ever been invited into those things in a very rounded, well-educated way. So that's part of the restoration of our soul on earth. Those of us that are uncovering our own joy, our own love, our own peace, so that we can share it with others. And likewise, those people who share it with us on the day that we most need it. It's one of the best flames to pass from body to body. The next theme is, what timeline are you in right now? Now, this one struck me when I got these words. The future beckons. So what I got shown was a lot of us, and I know I'm not there all the time, there are some of you who are there all the time, I feel, right now, are in the future timelines in order to bring a little more light to the present. The present needs light right now. And the present needs a lot of light, a lot of love, a lot of healing. So there are a whole group of people on the planet, and I see a fair number of you who watch videos like this, who've kind of gone ahead a few years energetically and as a soul. And you're kind of living there waiting for everyone else to catch up. But also, because you've gone there in your consciousness and your awareness, you are seeding that energy now to kind of help people over the bridge. We know that astrologically this has shown up, but we also know that many different prophecies have shown up around this period of time. I know my guides talked about 2017 to 2024 being a huge arc of change on the planet. So what timeline are you in right now? Are you thinking about the future? And actually, if you aren't thinking about the future, and if you're only in the present or the past, or you're a bit haunted about the idea of the future, it's going to be really important for you to start to generate positive vision, positive focus, positive... I wanted to censor that word, but I was told not to. Positive expectation for the future. Expectation felt a little bold to me, but they were like, no, we need to generate positive expectation. So some of you will reject that, and that's fine, but there'll be some of you who'll go, no, I want to generate positive expectation for the future. Thank you for your service. We need you doing that. So just start thinking about your future and the future of the world as a more transformed place, space, and way of living. It doesn't necessarily mean we still don't have to go through this rocky period, but don't let this rocky period tell us the story of what our future is. It's really important for those of us who can feel a rise in consciousness that's not only here right now, but that there's a different future ahead for us that's possible, to see it, to feel it, and to bring a seed of that energy here to now. It's very important, and more important than we may even realize. So, what timeline are you in right now? The future beckons. If you feel stuck in the past, stuck in the present, see if you can do some visioning. Sit down and write a dream of what you would like to personally experience in 2024, what you would like to see positively impact the world or people that you know in 2024. Which leads me to the last but one theme, which is interesting. 2023 energy is beginning to close out in November. 2023 energy is beginning to close out in November. Now, my logical mind says, well, we still have December. But they're like, no, 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 2023 is going to be pretty wrapped up by the end of November. And in December, you're entering the energy of 2024 early. Now, how you interpret that is going to depend on your belief system and what you think about linear time. But why this is important to understand, if you resonate with what I just said, is you're going to be doing a little bit of a wrap up and a little bit of a release of everything you've been through this year. So in the month of November, you will start to shed, transform. And also, it's interesting, in last month, the theme was reckoning and rebirth. So that energy began a reckoning of everything in your life and a rebirth. And what's about to happen is in the month of November, you're about to start to come out the birth canal ready for the next year. So it's interesting because 2023 energy, you could argue, is going to go all the way to the end of December. But they're saying, no, 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 there will be a shift that starts early in December that will move us into the energy of next year, which apparently is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. They say it's actually good that things are moving forward a little faster toward the end of the year. But it will encourage us to drop things we no longer need to feel. So it's going to be an intense month for sure. And the final theme is 2024 is a year of strength. So, of course, there will be many other energies in 2024, and depending on who you are personally, you'll have your own personal impacts, but it's going to be a year of human strength at a new level of soul that we haven't necessarily seen, that we may have not embodied yet. So, in a way, the fact that we are getting ready for a strong year does tend to imply that there might be major things going on for some of you in this last month or so, especially in the month of November. It feels like this will be the final month for any big moves that you want to make in terms of 2023. But as I say that, I know so many of us who have made major moves in this year already. So I'm going to bring you back to the first theme, recovery. Recovery. I know for me, even though I've been generating a lot of energy in the last, 6 weeks, I also know that because of that and because of the way the world has been, I have really had to focus on my recovery, making sure that I'm resetting myself, making sure I'm looking after myself. So I invite you to do the same. You know, at the end of the day, only we really know how we're doing and what we need. And if we're very out of touch with that, it's great to have a wonderful friend or someone who supports you, point it out to you. That's great. But we're the ones that can make the changes that we need to make. So if you are struggling right now, ask yourself, what could improve my life on a spiritual, mental, emotional, or physical level? You know, sometimes it's as simple as increasing the amount you're exercising to get your energy moving. Sometimes it's environmental, and you have to finally admit to yourself, yeah, I shouldn't be living in this apartment that I've been not enjoying living in for 3 years. When am I going to make the move? And how can I make the move if it's really bringing me down? So there are always things we can do, but the first thing is admitting we need to recover and giving it some time, giving it some focus, giving it some awareness. Lastly, I just want to say, look after your heart. You know, it's a really tender time, and times like this do really bring our hearts up to the forefront. And sometimes that can lead to incredibly beautiful, surrendered heart openings. And sometimes our hearts want to shut down because they don't know if they can trust the world that we live in. So it was interesting. As I sat down to do this month's energy update themes, I was struck by the emotional nature of so many of them. And I can feel it as I'm transmitting this to you. There is a level of high emotion that I am feeling that tells me where we're at. And so the most important thing to know is take your recovery into your own hands. Surround yourself with good people, places, and things. These are really times to gather your lighthouses, especially if you are someone who's a lighthouse for people in your life. It's got to flow both ways. We have to have the give and receive. So just take good care of yourself. And if you want to use November wisely, see it as a time of at least semi-hibernation. If you're feeling, you know, a little like, oh God, I don't like what Lee's saying and the world feels a bit alarming in November. Okay, great. Let's do something about that. Notice how you're feeling and decide for yourself, I am going to the best of my ability, not overstimulate my nervous system this month. The world will probably invite me to all kinds of things that will do that. So what are my actions and behaviors that aren't helping? And what are the actions and behaviors I can create that let me heal, let me breathe, let me feel safe to be here and ready to be here? So thank you for tuning in, everybody. I wish you lots of love for the month of November.
the album Through These Eyes, that's Bliss, and that track's called Silence. Now, this is an American program called Prioritize Your Life. So have a listen, this is interesting.
Welcome to Prioritize Your Life and prioritizeyourlife.com. Today is going to be a little different for me, at least, which is kind of fun because I actually know Adam and Holly pretty well. How long do we work for? 3.5 years together, something like that?
Yeah.
Maybe had lunch together, maybe at least 2 or 3 times a week during all of those weeks. So good times. Those of you that don't know Adam and Holly, they are amazing, amazing people. Wonderful examples of how engaged parents should be. I would try and list all of the awesome things you guys have started up and do, but just I look up to you guys as just a really awesome example and wonderful parents. And I know you have some incredible stories too. And I've probably only heard a little bit of some of them. So thanks for coming and sharing with all of us.
Yeah, you bet.
Part of what I try and do with these is just cue it up a little bit and then stay out of the way. So I'm just going to turn the time over to you and excited to hear the story.
Cool. Well, it's kind of funny because I never thought that we would ever share this story in particular.
He doesn't like to share his feelings. Share with other people.
One of those men.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I've come a long way though. 10 years ago, like when we first started doing Facebook and stuff, like Holly would share something on Facebook, and I'd be like, "Stop it!"
Like a birthday. I mean, like an everyday okay thing to share on Facebook, and he'd be like, "Why are you telling people about our life?"
Yeah, I hate that.
Like, people don't need to know about our life.
And now here we are. But over the
years, telling you about our life.
But over the years, yeah, I've just felt like obviously this, you know, not connecting, not sharing, not
being vulnerable.
Being vulnerable with others helps no one, right? So here we are. I never thought that I would share this story in particular. It's a very sacred story, but with the world and everything that's going on right now, if it can inspire or help someone to take comfort in and realize that there is a higher power out there, then it's worth it. So so this particular story starts, so my wife and I had we've had 2 kids, 2 boys, and we were going to have our 3rd child in a little town in Idaho. And we actually just last night watched this or read in our journals so we could remember all the details.
Yes, we did. We read our journal.
And I'd forgotten that it started at 4 in the morning, and we woke up, and we were going to go get induced at the local hospital there.
Just me, not him.
Yeah.
Like that he says we, though, because he was obviously involved in that.
So we went to the hospital. We were there at 4, and the weird thing was, and I'd forgotten this too, but they didn't know that we were coming for some reason. Like, they thought it was we were scheduled at a different hospital or something.
Yeah, different hospital at a different time. So
it was really weird. But they're like, okay, yeah, let's start. Let's do it. And so we started, and she was given the Pitocin, and we sat down, and I was, I think, doing something on my phone.
He's on his phone, yeah.
And she is sitting there, and then all of a sudden, she just, like, jumped up in pain and was like, go get the nurse. And I was like, what? Just kind of like, what's going on? And, like, started.
It was the worst pain I had ever felt in my life, and I had had 2 babies before. And I was like, I can't handle this. Like, I would rather die than be in this much pain. And it was all of a sudden. And usually when you have a baby, it's like little by little, okay, now it's getting worse. That was just like 0 to 10 in an instant. I couldn't handle it, and I couldn't even like yell and scream like I wanted to. That was how much pain I was in. So just letting you know how I really felt.
Yeah, and so she, because I was just going to press the button or whatever. And she's like, no, go and get the nurse. And like, that's, so I like ran out and we were all by ourselves. So I ran out and went and got the nurse and we're coming back in. And when we got back in, she was convulsing, foaming at the mouth. And I was just like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And then after just a little bit, her eyes just rolled back and she just stopped and she was gone. And I was just like crying and like the monitors were going crazy. And by that time, some more people were coming in and I was just like realizing, and it was pretty selfish, I guess, but I was just like, I'm a single dad. This is like the worst thing ever. And just thinking about, yeah, just that I was a single dad. And then all of a sudden I had a thought come to my mind, give her a blessing. So I put my hands on her head and I gave her a blessing or a prayer, and prayed for her. And I don't even remember what I said at all, honestly.
I remember what he said. Because that's when I came to. And all I remember was feeling so much pain, telling him, go get the nurse. And then I blacked out. I didn't remember anything up to the point of hearing my name. And he said my name in that prayer. And that's when I came to, was I heard my name first. And all of a sudden, I just opened my eyes and I couldn't talk. I couldn't talk for a half an hour. And I think that was one of the scariest moments of my life, because I could see what was going on. I didn't understand it, but I could see my husband. I could see the nurses and the doctors yelling at the nurses. There was a lot of anger in the room and frustration, and I knew it was all about me. I was the cause of all this, and I couldn't talk. And that was really scary for me, because I had this thought, I hope I can talk again. I hope that eventually I'll be able to say something. And then what happened was I remember Adam like taking my hand and just holding on to his hand and like making eye contact with him. Like I can somehow let him know I'm okay, I'm back. And when it was about a half an hour later, and then I could finally talk again. And I remember finally like trying to just concentrate on that oxygen and breathing. And then
I had to have oxygen too.
Yeah,
by the way.
We both had our oxygen with us. I was like, give him oxygen, please.
Because I was like,
I need him.
I was messed up.
He was panicking a little bit. More than a little. But so I had my oxygen and I was concentrating on breathing. And then when I finally could say something, I said, I don't know what happened, but that was really bad. Like, I was like saying those random stuff. Like, that was bad, but I'm okay now. And that's what I said. I wanted to reassure him. I'm okay. I'm here. I'm alert.
Yeah. And so we ended up running. They ran a bunch of tests. We ran, got MRI, and then they just wanted to get the baby out. And so had an emergency C-section. And
that was fun.
Yep, and we had our little Marie.
My little girl.
And it turned out to be okay. And it was a miracle, and just very grateful and happy that there is a higher power out there that's watching out for us. And we felt both, you know, since then and during the whole event, and especially after, that, you know, he's got a plan for each of us. And when it's our time, it's our time. And when it's not, it's not. And so, yeah, that was it's just a crazy, crazy, crazy experience.
Yeah, and I went back in my journal to try and get to see if I had written down, well, what do the medical records say? Like, what really happened? And we know a lot that didn't happen, because they thought that I had had a stroke, but then I didn't. They thought that I had had a seizure, but I didn't. And they thought, oh, blood clot in the lungs, but I didn't. And I thought it was my heart, but they weren't monitoring my heart at the time. They were monitoring the baby's heart, and she had big problems. Her heart
flatlined for like 3 minutes
or something. Super low,
yeah.
And that was scary. But the doctors, honestly, they didn't agree with each other. And so the medical records are like a disaster. They don't even make sense. Because one doctor says this, and one doctor says this.
And it was so crazy, too, because when it was happening, it was like, I was just like sitting there in shock after her eyes rolled back and she was like just gone. And the monitors were going crazy. And there was doctors just running everywhere. With it. No one was like paying any attention to her. I was like,
no one's doing anything.
No one's doing anything. Like it was just crazy. They were all looking at monitors and stuff. But then that thought popped in my head and
yeah, thankfully you can do something.
You can do something. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And we don't want, of course, like blame doctors, because I think a lot of the time people do that too easily. They say, oh yeah, it's the doctor's fault. But the doctors weren't even there. And yet they're responsible. And they're supposed to, you know, write on medical records. They're supposed to be the one that is liable, you know, for everything that happens. And they weren't even in the room. And, of course, they don't know what happened. So after all those tests, I'm just grateful that I have a husband who could really just listen and know that, you know, God is a part of our life. And he's a part of each one of our lives, every single one of us, because all of us can listen to that, you know, just listen to that feeling inside of you that you are a child of God. God cares about you and he can help you through whatever you're going through. So, and I know that I'm grateful that he was there to call me back because I was not ready to go anywhere anytime soon. So,
man. We became pretty good friends over those years. And I think you mentioned a little bit of it, but I remember you saying back then, like, yeah, I really didn't want to have any more kids after that. I don't want to lose my wife. Yeah, how many kids do you guys have now?
So we have five now.
Yeah. Yeah.
We still only have one daughter, though. She's our one daughter.
Okay.
And then we had two, but I wanted to have more children. Adam's like, well...
I gave the caveat, only if you promise that you're not going to
die. Not that I promise.
Okay, well, hey, promise. It worked out. So,
and yeah. I said, well, we'll just schedule another C-section, and I won't go into labor. We definitely won't, you know, do the Pitocin and induced labor thing. And so it's been okay. I haven't died. I'm glad to say that. But we've had two more sons since then, so we feel blessed and... have our little family, big family.
Big family.
Big family.
That's interesting, too, after all this time that you still don't necessarily really know what the cause was, and there's people that are guessing. I think there's a lot of correlations to what's happening in the world today right now, even like with the virus, because there's some people that are trying to blame it or who knows what to do, and you should do this and you should do that. But I think like always, and what we're taking away from a lot of these stories is it's pretty easy to try and push blame somewhere, but whatever's going on, we should probably always take a deep breath and just pray.
Yeah.
I think that's always good advice.
Yeah.
When you don't know what to do, take a deep breath and pray. Yeah. Because someone else is there that knows a lot more than us, and he wants us to listen to him.
Yep, follow that inner guidance. Yep.
Thanks so much for coming and sharing your story. And maybe I can convince you to come another time, because I know that you probably have like 100 more of these stories, because I know how awesome you guys are. So maybe we'll see you again.
There you go, one of mine, Galactic and Fantasy. That's from Oliver Shanti. This is Patricia Coda Robles, and she's talking about a higher frequency of healing. It's probably what we need.
Hi, Precious Heart. Over the past several months, not only have we experienced unprecedented influxes of light and shifts of vibration taking place at a cellular level within our earthly bodies, we have also experienced a greatly intensified purging process within the elemental kingdom. This is evident as we witness the record-breaking weather events occurring around the world. Both the acceleration of light and the purging of the elemental kingdom are vital aspects of Mother Earth's ascension process. Unfortunately, in many instances, these events are wreaking havoc on our physical bodies and the body of Mother Earth. As a result of these physical changes, millions of people are asking for divine intervention to help heal our earthly bodies and calm the elemental kingdom. In response to these sincere heart calls, the floodgates of heaven have opened once again. Our Father, Mother, God have given the legions of healing permission to assist us in more powerful and profound ways. It is difficult to fathom the magnitude of what this gift of divine grace truly means, but during the cosmic moment, humanity is now able to receive from on high unprecedented assistance with the healing of our earthly bodies and the elemental kingdom. To help each of us fully understand what is causing the increased challenges in our earthly bodies and the body of Mother Earth, the Company of Heaven is revealing that the inordinate stress we are feeling in our physical, etheric, mental, and emotional bodies is the result of the overwhelming toxic substances that have been dumped into our environment over the past 50 years. Our food, water, air, and even our homes are filled with toxic chemicals that are causing all kinds of designer diseases. These afflictions include heart and respiratory issues, obesity, diabetes, cancer, autism, Alzheimer's, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, post-traumatic stress disorders, and many other maladies in our bodies. We are being told that these toxic chemicals also trigger mental imbalances, which are causing much of the violence, rage, fear, mental confusion, and irrational behavior people are demonstrating around the world. The government revealed not long ago that there are 80,000 chemicals polluting our air, food, water, and other areas of our lives. Of those 80,000 chemicals, the FDA has thoroughly tested only 200 of them. Of the 200 chemicals tested, 5 of them were determined to be powerful carcinogens. It is no wonder people everywhere are being inundated with mental, emotional, and physical challenges that often seem beyond their ability to cope. There are many things we can do to try and avert some of these toxins, such as eating fresh organic food and drinking pure water, but that is not going to be enough to reclaim vibrant health. In order to do that, we are going to have to raise our frequency of vibration and transcend these environmental pollutants. The wonderful thing about the gifts of divine grace that are being made available to us at this time by our Father, Mother, God, is that all life is interrelated, interconnected, and interdependent. That means that when we invoke healing for ourselves and our loved ones, that healing light is then available for every man, woman, and child on earth. Since humanity's thoughts, words, actions, and feelings are reflected on the elemental kingdom, as we heal ourselves, we will also heal the elemental kingdom and the body of Mother Earth. This collective effort will help to calm the natural disasters that are manifesting around the world, and it will lift the Earth and all life evolving upon her into higher frequencies of fifth dimensional crystalline solar light Mother Earth is now abiding within. These frequencies of fifth dimensional crystalline solar light transcend the dense toxins and pollutants that are causing the majority of our problems. For this higher frequency, we can blaze the emerald green flame of healing and the violet flame of transmutation into the toxins and transmute their adverse effects. This will prevent us from having to experience the diseases and disorders the toxic substances are causing in our carbon-based bodies at this time. This may be difficult to accept, but know that God's healing light is infinitely powerful. For this specific facet of the unfolding divine plan, our Father, Mother, God have invoked the beings of light from the etheric temples of healing and music. Our godparents have given these selfless messengers of God permission to intervene in more powerful ways to assist with the healing of our earthly bodies, the earthly bodies of humanity, the elemental kingdom, and Mother Earth. All we have to do to receive this enhanced assistance of healing is ask for their assistance. The beings of light who are associated with these etheric temples are beloved Mother Mary, who holds the Immaculate Concept for all healing, and the Ascended Masters Hilarion and Saint Germain. Hilarion is the director of the emerald green fifth solar aspect of deity, which pulsates with healing and truth. Saint Germain is the director of the violet seventh solar aspect of deity, which pulsates with transmutation and transfiguration. The sacred fire that blazes on the altar within the temples of healing and music in the inner realms is an emerald green flame with a violet radiance. Our Father, Mother, God have told us this flame is the most powerful frequency of healing available to humanity at this time. With Mother Earth's ascension into her new solar reality, this sacred fire has also ascended into a solar frequency. It is now known through all creation as the fifth dimensional solar flame of healing through the power of infinite transmutation. As the emerald green flame of healing restores and transforms our bodies, the violet flame of infinite transmutation transmutes into light the cause, core, effect, record, and memory of whatever caused the maladies in our bodies in the first place. Mother Mary, Hilarion, and Saint Germain have at their beck and call legions of angels who serve with them in the etheric temples of healing and music. These selfless angels have now been empowered to help humanity to effectively utilize the new solar flame of healing through the power of infinite transmutation. Due to the urgency of the hour, Mother Mary, Hilarion, and Saint Germain have directed their angels to respond to the clarion call of the I Am Presence of every man, woman, and child on earth with the most intensified healing light that cosmic law will allow. In deep humility and gratitude, these angels of healing and transmutation have volunteered to enter into and to remain within the energy fields of all humanity while we go through the process of transfiguring the diseased and mutated cells within our earthly bodies and the bodies of the elemental kingdom and Mother Earth. We do not have to fully understand what all of this means in order to benefit from the intensified gift of healing that is being given to humanity now by our Father, Mother, God, and the legions of healing. All we need to do is ask our I Am Presence and the I Am Presence of every person on earth to take command of our physical, etheric, mental, and emotional bodies during this following activity of light. If you have the heart call to do so, please join with me and light workers around the world for this opportunity. And we begin. We now invoke Mother Mary, Hilarion, Saint Germain, and their legions of angels for a new order of solar healing. I am my I Am Presence, and I am one with the I Am Presence of every person on earth. The healing I invoke for myself this day, I invoke for humanity, the elemental kingdom, and Mother Earth in perfect alignment with the highest good for all concerned. Beloved Presence of God, I am. Through the divinity blazing in every heart flame, I invoke the legions of angels associated with the brand new solar frequencies of emerald green and violet solar flame of healing through the power of infinite transmutation. This emerald green and violet solar flame is the most powerful frequency of healing available in the new solar reality Mother Earth is now abiding in. This sacred fire transcends everything less than vibrant health and God's infinite physical perfection. Beloved angels, blaze forth the most intensified activity of the healing flame that cosmic law will allow. Project this sacred fire into the core of purity in every electron of precious life energy comprising the earthly bodies of humanity, the elemental kingdom, and Mother Earth. Cast every frequency of vibration that is less than God's infinite physical perfection into the violet transmuting flame. Instantly transmute every frequency of vibration in any facet of life that conflicts with the immaculate concept of humanity's, the elemental kingdom's, and Mother Earth's fifth dimensional crystalline solar light bodies. Beloved ones, increase this activity of healing light daily and hourly with every breath I take. Allow me to be the open door for the emerald green and violet flame of solar healing through the power of infinite transmutation. I am a force of healing for Mother Earth and all life evolving upon her. I am magnetizing into my sphere of awareness every person, place, condition or thing that I can assist in any way with God's healing light. Father, Mother, God, give me the divine opportunities to love all life free on this sweet earth. I am open. I am willing. I am receptive. I am grateful. I am God's solar healing flame in action on earth. And so it is. In God's most holy name, I am. I am. I am. Dear one, give yourself the gift of focusing regularly on this healing flame. God bless you.
The question now arises from Patricia. Are you empowering your pain and suffering? A bit what Lee was talking about. Are you looking after yourself?
Today we're going to talk about whether or not you are inadvertently empowering and sustaining through your thoughts and feelings the very things that are causing you pain and suffering. From the time I was a very small child, I kept asking the question, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Even from a child's perspective, I knew that the negative things I was witnessing and experiencing were not the way things were supposed to be on Earth. When I was older, I studied the gamut of world religions and sought answers in the fields of science and psychology. During my quest, I became aware that there is a unifying thread of truth running through all of the various schools of thought. That truth reveals that we are responsible for how we choose to use our life force, and we will experience the results of our actions. This means, quite literally, that the energy we expend in whatever we are thinking, feeling, saying, or doing, not only affects everybody and everything in our sphere of influence, it eventually returns to us through our everyday life experiences. In the realms of illumined truth, this unifying thread of knowledge is known as the law of the circle. In Eastern philosophies, this principle is referred to as karma, or the law of cause and effect. In Judeo-Christian teachings, this law is described by various phrases, such as reaping what we sow, or casting our bread upon the water and having it returned to us, or an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Gandhi said, if we follow that principle, we will all end up blind and toothless. The statement should say, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hug for a hug, and a kiss for a kiss, so we get the whole picture. In science, the law of the circle is demonstrated in statements such as, like attracts like, or radiation and magnetization, or for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And finally, in metaphysical terms, the law of the circle is described as the out-breath and the in-breath of our Father, Mother, God. The law of the circle confirms that at any given moment, our lives are reflecting back to us the sum total of our past experiences and whatever we are currently empowering with our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions. This means that we are not just innocent victims of circumstance who, through no fault of our own, are being buffeted about by things that are beyond our control. On the contrary, we are co-creating our lives daily and hourly with every breath we take. If we do not like what is happening in our life, by changing the way we are thinking, feeling, and behaving, we have the ability to create the life we want. When I became aware of that truth, my overwhelming question was that if every form of knowledge on earth, both spiritual and academic, is revealing that the things taking place in our lives, both good and bad, are the result of our own thoughts and feelings, then why hasn't humanity taken the necessary steps to stop the pain and suffering? Why in the world are we in the mess that we are in? Why do we dwell on our fears and negativity instead of focusing on the positive and wonderful things that we want to create in our life? After much contemplation, I knew that the answers to those questions were not outside of me. So I went within and asked my I Am Presence and my Father, Mother, God to reveal the answers to me. After a time of patience and remaining in a state of listening grace, the truth that we all have pulsating within the divinity of our heart flames began to surface into my conscious mind. During the next few weeks, I am going to share this information with you in our weekly vlogs. From my own experience and the responses of the thousands of people I have shared this information with, I know it is much more effective and life-transforming if we apply this sacred knowledge step by step as an experiential process. So this week, the very first step is to begin taking control of your thoughts, feelings, words, and actions. In order to do that, you have to be consciously aware of what you are thinking and feeling moment by moment throughout the day. Unfortunately, the vast majority of the people just go through the day without paying any attention to what they are allowing themselves to empower with their thoughts and feelings. Unless something is extremely wonderful or extremely painful, people just let their thoughts muddle through their mind and allow their feelings to whip around their emotions without any conscious direction at all. If something makes them happy, they just let it make them happy. If something upsets them, they just let it upset them. Consequently, every day the majority of people are on an up and down roller coaster, mentally and emotionally. This unconscious behavior is the main reason that we see so little progress when it comes to improving the quality of our lives. We take one step forward by deliberately thinking positive thoughts and working with the light for a period of time. Then we go about our day and stop paying attention. Within a very short time, we are taking two steps backwards with our oblivious thoughts and feelings. It is time for that counterproductive behavior to stop. We are awake now, and we can no longer use the excuse that we did not understand how important it is for us to pay attention to what we are empowering with our thoughts and feelings. Now that we know that our life force is comprised of intelligent electronic light substance, which is our gift of life from our Father, Mother, God, It is not only irresponsible for us to use our precious life force haphazardly. It is a sacrilege. The company of heaven and our I Am presence are now reminding us that our thoughts and feelings are creative, and that whatever we are thinking and feeling, we are empowering, sustaining, and bringing into tangible form. Now that we are becoming consciously aware of that fact, we have an even greater level of accountability for how we use our life force. The good news is that because of the shifts of energy, vibration, and consciousness that have taken place within every person over the past few years, our I Am presence now has the ability to intervene in our life in ways we have not experienced in the past. During this auspicious time, our I Am presence is integrating into our mental and emotional bodies and will now be able to help us monitor our thoughts and feelings. All we have to do is ask for that intervention and affirm that truth. So to start taking control of your thoughts and feelings this week, begin every day by affirming, I am my I Am presence, and I am one with my Father, Mother, God. Then ask your I Am presence to help you be consciously aware of what you are thinking and feeling throughout the day. Ask yourself, time and again, is what I am thinking and feeling this moment adding to the light of my life or the shadows? If what you are focusing on is negative or not what you want to empower in your life, then ask yourself, what do I want to empower with my thoughts and feelings instead of what I am thinking about now? Then focus on what you want to empower. It may be that you need to focus on the same thing, but that you just need to do so from a positive perspective instead of the negative perspective that you were empowering at that moment. Once you shift from the negative thought to the positive thought, ask your I Am presence and our Father, Mother, God to blaze the violet flame of God's infinite perfection through the negative thought forms that you were unintentionally empowering. This is a very simple but necessary first step. Once you begin paying attention, you will realize how very often you allow yourself to slip into the habit of oblivious thoughts and feelings. In the beginning, you will need to repeat these simple steps many times every single day. But with the help of your I Am presence, positive thinking will soon become automatic for you. So remember, this week, your moment-to-moment mantra is what I am thinking and feeling this moment adding to the light of my life or the shadows? If what you are focusing on is negative or not what you want to empower in your life, say to yourself, what do I want to empower with my feelings and my thoughts instead of what I am thinking about now? Then focus on what you want to empower and blaze the violet flame of God's infinite perfection through your negative thought forms and feelings. God bless you, dear one, and I wish you a glorious week of empowering what you want to co-create in your life.
What's on at Infinity Spiritual Center in Anglesey Street? Tonight we have meditation, so you can come along and join with other like-minded people, and let's hopefully we can bring peace to this world. I am Barry, spreading the voice within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.